From NPR Music, this is Out Latino. I'm Felix Contreras in Washington, D.C.
And I'm Jasmine Garst in Mexico City.
Today, we take some time to observe the opening of the World Cup in Brazil.
And we're going to do this with a show that is dedicated entirely to Brazilian music.
Contemporary Brazilian music from all over that big, musically rich country.
Our guide today is DJ Lewis Robinson. He's the producer of a new compilation. It's called New Sounds of Brazil.
Lewis, welcome to the show.
Hi, Felix. Nice to hear you. Very funny to be talking to you, having listened to you on the radio.
Thank you. We have lots of music today and lots of stuff to talk about it, so let's get right into it. What are we listening to right now, Lewis?
So this is Lucas Santana with a track called Amor, Meu Grande Amor.
Que tudo que ofereço é meu calor, meu endereço. A vida do teu filho, desde o fim até o começo. Que tudo que ofereço é meu calor, meu endereço. A vida do teu filho, desde o fim até o começo. Amor, meu grande amor, só dure o tempo que mereça. E quando me quiser, que seja de qualquer maneira. Enquanto me tiver, que eu seja o último e o primeiro. E quando te encontrar, meu amor, me reconheça. Que tudo que ofereço é meu calor, meu endereço. A vida do teu filho, desde o fim até o começo. Que tudo que ofereço é meu calor, meu endereço. A vida do teu filho, desde o fim até o começo.
Lewis, we've played Lucas Santana on our show before. In fact, Jasmine found him and brought him in on one of his tracks a while back. We're both big fans. What is it about this tune that just drew you in?
Well, yeah, I mean, I've worked with Lucas for almost 3 years now, and he's he doesn't really consider himself a Brazilian singer-songwriter. You know, he's an international singer-songwriter. Obviously, he's from Brazil, and he has Brazilian influences in his music. But his palette is much wider than that. You know, he draws on, as you can hear from that track, it doesn't sound particularly Brazilian. It's got much more of a kind of a heavy dub sound to it. But yeah, for me, I think Lucas is one of the most important singer, songwriter, producers in the world. Now, not just in Brazilian music, in the world. I think he's, in terms of, you know, he's on a par with someone like Tom York. And that track kind of shows you why. If you hear the original, which is from 1979, which is a kind of sort of kind of more folky MPB love song, it sounds nothing like how Lucas has kind of changed it into this sort of very dub heavy kind of shuddering lament. So he's very clever at kind of combining genres together and revisioning kind of you know, sounds and other songs.
We're going to hear that phrase a couple of times, MPB, so why don't you go ahead and explain it for those people who aren't familiar with MPB.
So MPB stands for Música Popular Brasileira, which kind of means exactly what it says. It's kind of popular Brazilian music. So artists like Caetano Veloso and Maria Bethânia, Gilberto Gil, they are considered the kind of, you know, the cornerstone of kind of MPB artists. And it kind of, it can encapsulate you know, different genres as well. It's more about popular Brazilian music. It's quite hard to kind of distinguish because it's not so genre-based.
I wanted to ask you a little bit more about yourself. How did you get into Brazilian music? How did you become such a connoisseur?
Well, from listening to, I don't know if you know the DJ Giles Peterson.
Yes.
Yeah, so Giles is kind of, he introduced a lot of, I guess most people in my generation, to Brazilian music in the UK. I used to listen to his show. I mean, I was kind of into indie music when I was growing up as a sort of mid sort of to early teenager. And then I came across Giles' show on the radio, and, you know, he played all kinds of sort of more black music, I suppose, everything from like early drum and bass to trip hop to jazz to soul. And he would play a lot of Brazilian stuff as well, more kind of bossa nova or bossa jazz, artists like Marcus Valley and Joyce. And I don't know, there was just something in the music, I guess something in the kind of the swing that really sort of attracted me to it. And I started to dig a little deeper, as you are when you're kind of like in your sort of late teens, you're kind of like a sponge now. You just want to absorb all the music you can find. So I kind of dug deeper into it. And then I ended up working for a Brazilian record label based in London called Far Out Recordings, which is an excellent label that does, again, does a lot of work with artists like Joyce and Marcus Valley. And then I kind of just realised just how big Brazil was and just how many different styles and how many different genres and, you know, just the amount of music that was happening in that country. And kind of towards the end of the period, when I sort of, after I'd worked for Far Out, I wanted to sort of dig a bit deeper into who the contemporary artists were, because to me, Brazilian music seemed to be dominated by these great figures from the sort of 60s and 70s, but I didn't see that many new exciting artists coming through. So I went to Brazil, travelled around for 2 months, went from the north of the country to Belém, which is kind of sort of on the edge of the Amazon. Then went down to Recife on the northeast coast, went to Belo Horizonte inside the country, Rio, Sao Paulo, and just, you know, met musicians, listened to bands, got given CDs, and I just came back with so much phenomenal stuff. I thought, well, there's only one thing I know how to do, so let's just do a compilation. So I put the first compilation together, and it just got really good reviews. I mean, it was quite obvious, really. It was a collection of new stuff from Brazil that no one had really done before. But, yeah, it struck a chord with a lot of people. And then after that, I kind of ended up with the Brazilian record label.
What is the name of your label?
It's called Mais Um Discos.
And what do you call yourself?
Well, my kind of nickname is Mais Um Gringo, which means one more gringo or just another gringo. But to put it in context, in Brazilian concerts at the end of the show, when people want to hear one more song, they chant Mais Um, Mais Um.
I got it. So tell me, you know, when you're doing a compilation like this, what mood are you? Are you going for like a mood, or are you just going for showcasing Brazilian artists you're really into?
Yeah, I'm just trying to show a kind of a snapshot of the kind of the whole of Brazil, or as much of Brazil as I can, but also focusing more on scenes and artists that aren't so widely covered. You know, I mean, everyone knows, you know, the kind of the sound of bossa nova and samba, and there's heaps and heaps of, you know, talented young, mainly female musicians doing, you know, new bossa or new samba, which is all well and good, but Brazil is so much more than that, you know. So I tend to kind of leave those artists aside and try and focus on artists who are doing slightly more interesting for me and slightly more alternative, or coming from different cities or cities that people don't really know anything about. Yeah, and obviously it's just stuff, obviously, that I kind of, I'm into as well.
Okay, what's next? What's next on your list?
So this is a band from Belo Horizonte, which is in the state of Minas Gerais, which some people may know is where Milton Nascimento is from. And this song is by a band called Dead Lovers Twisted Heart. It's called Apocalypse Do Amor. They call this song a special lambada. And this is the good thing about, I mean, in essence, it's kind of a Brazilian indie tune, but it's got that swing. And Brazilians are really good at combining kind of, I don't know, rock music or Western styles with their local style. So this is combined, got a kind of lambada feel to it, which is from the north of the country. And it's just got the most incredible swing for a kind of indie tune. We'll be right back.
ai deu no pé.
Two things stand out on that song. First of all, that really cool guitar intro reminds me so much of Dickie Betts from the Allman Brothers post-Dwayne. It had that crisp tautness to it.
I think that's the kind of Lambada style of it, I think, that's kind of that really sort of funky swinging guitar, a bit kind of surfy.
And also, you know, the beat sort of reminded me of a slowdown, almost like a reggaeton in a way.
Yeah, and I think that's, again, they called it a lambada, which is a style that's from the Amazon. And obviously, the Amazon is closer to the Caribbean than it is to Rio. So what would happen I'm not sure if it's still true now, but I know in the sort of 60s, 70s, people in Pará, in the state of Pará, or in the city of Belém, it was easier for them to hear music from the Caribbean on the radios than it was to hear music from Rio on the radio stations there. You know, they were closer to the Caribbean. So that's why music from the Amazon is almost like another, do you know what I mean? People think of Brazilian music, samba, bossa nova, but you go to Pará and obviously they listen to samba and bossa nova, but they have a whole other range of different genres happening there.
Let me ask you very quickly something about the business side of this. How difficult was it to keep track of these musicians as you found the recordings and to be able to share things like royalties and some of the proceeds from the album? How difficult is that doing it from on the other side of the ocean?
Yeah, I mean, I use PayPal, really. I don't want this to be an advert for PayPal. But that's kind of... It's, do you know what? The world is a lot closer now in some ways than people think. I mean, the first time I went to Brazil, I contacted some of the artists by email and I met a lot of people and, you know, but once you kind of know the people, then it's a lot easier. And now people kind of know who I am in Brazil and hopefully they think I do a good job promoting the music. So, and I go to Brazil like at least once or twice a year. So that's often I'll just take the money with me and just, you know, hand it out there and then.
Good for you, man. Next up is something from Brazilian royalty, I guess you could say, musical royalty.
Yeah, so this is the singer Alice Kaimi, who's the granddaughter of Dorival Kaimi, who is one of the kind of the singer-songwriters, the voices of Bahia. He's got this incredible kind of deep baritone voices, and all his songs seem to be about fishermen and living by the sea. And yeah, I mean, he's got quite a kind of famous offspring, such as Nana Kaimi. And the Kaimis are a kind of, yeah, a sort of a dynasty of Brazilian music. And then this track by Alice, I just think so beautiful. I mean, I don't speak the best Portuguese and my knowledge is slightly limited, but apparently this is quite a kind of mystical song. She talks about a lot of kind of mystical images like the moon and the sea and the beach in a very poetic way, but it's just such a heartbreakingly beautiful song.
Lua que clareia, lua de candeia, lua de encandear. Arco da aliança, que abre a roda dança, dança de alumiar. Luz de maravilha, que ciranda ilha, que é de Itamaracá. No cordão de lia, quem roda a poesia é um braço de mar, chão de praia.
I want to take you back to that moment when you heard Brazilian music in a new way. What was that instant like?
Well, there's two moments that kind of stick to mind from my second trip out there when I was kind of there with the aim of discovering the new sounds from Brazil. And I got invited out by this really great organization called BM&A, who kind of like the Brazilian Music Export Office, and they take people to Brazil and kind of try and blow their minds by hearing all new types of Brazilian music. And they took us to this great rock festival in the city of Goiânia, which is quite far inland. And it was just great. It was just like, it reminded me of, you know, my kind of days as an indie kid in London. And we went to this festival and, you know, everyone's drinking, having a good time. And I said to the guy who curated the festival, I was like, look, man, I want to find something, you know, the Brazilian rock is good, but I want something a bit more off the beaten track. Is there any kind of, are there any bands who are influenced by Tropicália or someone doing a bit, something a bit more freaky, weirdy? And he said to me, yeah, you've got to check this band called Mini Box Luna. They're fantastic. They're kind of sort of Tropicália vibe. So we went to see them. They were the first band on. And there was no one there watching them, apart from me and my friend. And it was incredible. There was like six kind of long-haired hippie dudes from the Amazon with two female singers who both had kind of quite long hair and kind of floral dresses. But they just had this incredibly like, sort of like Jefferson Airplane goes to the Amazon kind of really funky, kind of a bit hippie, just killer melodies. And it was incredible. I was just like, who are these people? And and it ended up, I got a track from them from the first compilation I did, and I put it as the kind of the first track on the album, just because I was so blown away by them. And yeah, it was a great way to open the compilation. So the band's called Mini Box Luna, and the track's called Amarelassi, which kind of means yellowish.
So we know that you don't live in Brazil, but you do travel very often for work and family reasons. And I was wondering, is there a Brazilian counterpart like that you just love working there when you are there that you look forward to?
Yeah, I mean, I love where my wife's family are from. They're from the Amazon region. And I really love going to the city called Belém, which is at the mouth of the Amazon. And it's just got the most incredible music scene. There's all these different styles, you know, styles like Carimbó and Brega, and more newer styles coming through like Techno Brega and Electro Melody. And it's kind of, yeah, it's in the Amazon. So as you can imagine, it's incredibly hot, which for someone from London is a very welcome reward. And it's just the pace of life there is just, it's kind of a lot slower than it is, you know, compared to somewhere like Sao Paulo or London. And the food's incredible. You know, it's just got these kind of vibe about it. Yeah, so I love going to Belém. And it's where I met my wife as well. So obviously that's quite nice.
You brought a track in from Belém.
Yeah, so this is a great track. This is from a singer called Lia Sofia, who's kind of one of the sort of new wave of artists from Pará who's coming through. And this track's called Amor de Promoção, which means kind of love for sale, love promotion.
I think it's every music lover's dream to be able to put together a compilation album of some of your favorite tracks. And when you think about it, you know, we've all done mixtapes on cassettes and now playlists. With all the mountain of music that you had at your disposal, how did you choose these tracks?
It was a lot of fun compiling the album. At times I think I was going slightly mad and I just had so much stuff to listen to. And, you know, when you've listened to like 200 tracks, you just think, oh my, I haven't heard anything good. You just think, oh my God, I'm never going to hear anything good again. And you just go completely mad. So then you have to go and listen to the Beatles or something to kind of have a kind of counterpoint, go to bed, and then wake up the next day and do it again.
Up next, you brought something from the big city of Sao Paulo.
Yeah, so this is a track from a great band called Bixiga 70. The track's called Kalimba. They're from the neighborhood of Bixiga in Sao Paulo, hence their name. And their name also references Fela Kuti and his kind of Africa 70. They kind of take a lot of influence from Afrobeat, but also a lot of influence from Brazil and the kind of various Latin styles of South America. And they're just this fantastic sort of 10-piece kind of party funk band. And this track's got a real nice, for me, a kind of carimbo guitar harder vibe from the Amazon.
This track is so much fun to dissect. That hi-hat, it's on the upbeat, but the conga part is like on the second half of the measure, which means that it comes toward the end of that little musical phrase. And these horns sound to me like Tower of Power from Oakland.
You know, Fee, it's so interesting, like our different points of cultural reference, because you're hearing Tower of Power and I'm like hearing this very Rio Platense style of traditional music that's called murga.
That's awesome.
Which kind of fuses like drumming, like batucada elements with like these horns, and people dress like very New Orleans style and like start dancing.
That drum pattern almost has a calypso feel to it.
Yeah, you know what I was thinking, though? like, it sounds very cumbia. And, you know, a while back we did this show. It was called Cumbia, the Musical Backbone of Latin America. And it was all about how no matter where you go in Latin America, people listen to cumbia, people dance cumbia. And, you know, there was one commenter who said, except in Brazil, you guys forgot. This to me sounds very cumbia.
Yeah, this is, I mean, this is by a band, Bixiga 70, who are, they're like a 10-piece, I guess they're a Latin kind of funk orchestra. I mean, some people say they're like an Afrobeat band because their first album was very Afrobeat inspired. But then their latest album, which I've released, Occupy, is more kind of pan, I guess, Latin American, where they're kind of taking influences from the whole of sort of Latin America and all their own personal interests and Africa as well, and kind of mixing it together. And yeah, for me, that track has a real, it's got a kind of carimbó guitar groove, which is from the Amazon, which again would probably have been influenced by cumbia as well. But I mean, obviously, because Brazilians speak Portuguese, you know, they don't have, not all the big artists from Latin America are as big in Brazil as you'd think, as they would be compared to some of the other countries in South America.
That's something that I noticed when I went there. You know, I've gone to visit a couple of times to Brazil, and you know, when you get there, like when you're Latin American, when you're a Spanish speaker, it's like there's just so much common vocabulary, you know? I mean, yes, there's a lot of differences culturally between Argentines and Mexicans, or Argentines and, I don't know, Puerto Ricans, different experiences, different culture, but we have this like common vocabulary that extends to music, right? But then when I went to Brazil, it was like being on another planet.
Yeah, and I think this is probably a good thing though, because I think in some ways it's kind of preserved. It's made Brazilian music have its own identity and its own kind of language, as it were, you know, because they're kind of, you've got that sort of slight language barrier. Yeah, it's kind of helped their music evolve in a slightly different way. And also, a friend of mine who lives in Belém in the Amazon, you know, she was saying to me, their music has been preserved because it's almost developed in its own bubble. Now, I mean, even in Brazil, a lot of, obviously Brazilians know the Amazon is part of their country, but for them, like, the music from the Amazon has been a bit of a mystery, you know, because just it's geographically so far from Sao Paulo. It's like 4 hours on a 5 hours on a plane. So their music has kind of been left to sort of develop in this little bubble. And it's only now, you know, with obviously the advent of the internet and people being able to listen to any music from anywhere.
I was wondering, you know, given this political situation in Brazil and how it's reflected in culture and music, if any of the artists that you picked to be on this compilation have been vocal about what's happening there.
Yeah, a lot of them have, I find. Because the artists I work with, they're all from the independent kind of scene. And a band I know really well, Graviola, who've signed to my label, they are so anti-FIFA and anti-World Cup. They're from the city, Belo Horizonte. And they told me there's kind of been like a ring fence around the stadium. So, you know, people's houses have been bulldozed and you can't get within, like, I think it's like a kilometre around the stadium at the moment. So, you know, it's just like kind of for them, it feels like FIFA have just come along, imposed this kind of area. And also, I mean, I guess the main issue with everyone from Brazil is saying is, you know, the government has spent all this money on these stadiums, yet, you know, public services in Brazil are terrible, you know. I think people are really, really upset, which is why, you know, they're taken to the streets. And I'm sure there's going to be more protests over the next coming weeks as well.
The last track that you selected today is a rock band that does reflect some of that political consciousness.
Yeah, this is a band called Apanhador Só, and the track is called Mordido, which translates as bitten. And it kind of, one of the lyrics from the song is, we won't buy this BS, shall we say. There's a great video of this track, which is where they've cut together various images from the World Cup and from the kind of FIFA promotional campaign. And the group, that the kind of audiovisual group who've done this, are called Tatu Morto, which means dead armadillo. I don't know if anyone's seen the FIFA kind of character for this World Cup, which is an armadillo. And Yeah, it's a great video because it kind of cuts together a lot of, you know, there's images of people protesting, images of kind of native Indians protesting against certain things. And it's kind of all, yeah, it's done really well. And this band is a very kind of politicized kind of, I guess not angry, but, you know, they're just reflecting the kind of what's happening in Brazil at the moment.
This is Mordido from the band Aprendador So.
Essa balela que não vai colar. Não tá tão fácil assim pra convencer. Esse teu papo de querer crescer. Na parceria, jogo aberto e tal. Já deu pra perceber que se alguém sai ganhando aqui é tu. Aqui tem peito pra identificar que é o contrário do teu lá lá lá. Negócio aí não é nada mais do que mene meter no nosso. Sempre fui lograr. Criar uma imagem boa pra vender. Na captura do nosso querer. Tá conseguindo é nos provocar. Pra não se perder. Que aqui na espera tão querendo.
You know, this intro of the song, it's like almost music concrete in a way. I mean, there's just, it's experimental in nature.
Yeah, it's great noise. And I like how it kind of morphs into that. It's got that kind of bossa nova strum, but it's been twisted and then it kind of explodes into something completely different.
I do have a quick question. We haven't heard any of the hip-hop on the compilation, and I really wanted to talk to you a little bit about that. Can we go out on a hip-hop song?
Yeah, yeah. Do you want to talk about one in particular? Or?
Well, I really like the first song, the one that the compilation opens with.
Okay, so yeah, this is Ping Pong by Lourdes da Luz.
Meu rap é real, não é de zonga. Zonga, eu só vou te ouvir se for sem lengar. Benga, Lunga feito zumbi, Ganga, Zumba, e te bate pesado com Kyoka. Bang, no bang, não banguei assim, bang, bang, aqui é na bolinha, flu é ping, pong, ping, pong, ping, pong. Aqui é na bolinha, flu é ping, pong, aqui é na bolinha, flu é ping, pong, aqui é na bolinha, flu é ping, pong, ping, pong, ping, pong.
So this is a rapper or MC called Lourdes Da Luz. She's quite, I think she's been around for a while. She's kind of old school. And it's great because this track is, someone was telling me like the name of the style. It's some, I should really know, it's some kind of crazy new wave Brazilian dance style that's kind of like slowed down Baile funk. And the beat's been produced by this guy, Leo Justi, who is one of the sort of hype names of Brazilian kind of post Baile funk music. He does a lot of Baile funk stuff, but he's kind of approaching it in a slightly sort of twisted manner. And yeah, I mean, it's just she's definitely, she's one to watch out for. I think her album's going to drop next year.
These are all great songs, and thank you so much for joining us today, Lewis. I know there's a big time difference with London, which is where you're joining us from, but thank you so much.
No, thanks for having me on the show. No, it's really good to be able to kind of share these new sounds of Brazil with as wide as possible people, and just, you know, show people that Brazil, there's a lot more happening in Brazil than just samba, bossa nova, or baile funk.
DJ Lewis Robinson is the producer of the new compilation, Olé, New Sounds of Brazil. Great compilation, which will also be featured as a first listen at nprmusic.org. You can hear all the songs we've played in their entirety on our website at npr.org/altlatino.
And don't forget to follow us on Facebook and Twitter. We are NPR's Alt Latino.
And we'd love to hear what your favorite form of Brazilian music is, and if you have new artists that we can share with us and with Lewis. From Washington, D.C., this is Felix Contreras.
From London, this is Lewis Robinson from Maison Discos.
Wow, what an international show. And from Mexico City, I'm Jasmine Garz. This is NPR.